Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Monday night. Tonight we have Brother Alan Smith with us. He's from Hasty, Arkansas. He attends Jasper First Assembly of God there in Jasper, and he was an ABF worker, ABF driver that worked out of the Fayetteville terminal. That's where I met Brother Alan, and he's going to be with us tonight to share the word, maybe a little bit of a testimony or whatever the Lord lays on his heart. But before we get it started and turn over to Brother Alan, we're going to play a song. He actually mentioned this song today. The song's been around a long time. I have the honor and privilege to record it. It's called Wayfaring Stranger. After the song, Brother Alan, it's all yours.
All right. Wayfaring strangers, but we do have a home, an everlasting home, one that's not prepared by man, but one that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm Alan Smith. Good to be with everybody here. I have been preaching almost almost 30 years. Pastored a couple of churches, missionary, Russia, Siberia, Kazakhstan. Was set up to go in Mongolia and church there. Everyone was killed. The Chinese government come in and killed every one of them. We know that the persecutions against the Lord's people are really strong in a lot of places, but thank God he's still real. I evangelize here, there, just whoever wants me to come, I'll come and preach for them. And I really appreciate the opportunity, Brother Skip, talk to me about being able to speak to you tonight. I feel a verse on my heart, and I'd like to share it with you. It's going to be out of Matthew's Gospel in the 6th chapter. I'm going to read a few extra verses here to kind of give you a little preview of what the Lord was talking about before we come to this. I'm going to read in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Lay not up treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Father, I pray that you move with the sweet anointing. God, that you touch every heart. Give us ears to hear and mercy and grace to follow, to understand, and implement every moment and hour. In the name of Jesus, bring salvation brought to us more and more day by day. Amen. Again, I'd like to read verse 22. "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" You know, old Dr. Tozer, A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite quotes of him is, "Purity of heart is to will one thing." When I first heard that quote, I hadn't been a Christian very long, and I wrestled with that because I had the feeling that our purity of heart was you know, some type of work and effort that we were involved in. But through time and through the grace of the Lord, I realized that my works have nothing to do with my salvation. My salvation has everything to do with my works. If I'm saved, I'll do saved things. If I'm saved, that's the way that works. It causes you to do that thing because it changes your heart. When you're born again, your heart changes within you. You either have one master or you have the other. There where it says that old English word, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon means that it's like money or riches. And it also would mean confidence. Those three things out of that Aramaic word that Jesus had said there, that is the definition of it. The old English definition means riches. It also means riches in the Aramaic, but it includes the confidence. And an overconfident man is something that the Proverbs really did shut down. If you'll notice today, we've got a lot of human teaching trying to build our own confidence. We shouldn't have confidence in ourselves. Our confidence should be set in the Lord. But that light, when we're born again, that light comes inside of us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, the light of the body is the eye, is what it says here. He's talking about a spiritual eye. And we know that he's talking about a spiritual eye because in the 23rd verse, he said, but if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. In other words, the light that's in you, if it's evil, your whole body is going to be full of darkness. So when he says that thine eye be single, that means that if your eye is set on one thing, if your heart and your will and your desire is set on one thing, your whole body will be full of light. Now, that if you just took it at physical terms, you might say, well, all I can do is just look at things that pertain unto Jesus, can't even work, I can't do anything else. But that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is let your heart be set on him when you work, when you're with your family, when you're with nobody else, when you're out in public, regardless what you're doing, let your eye be set upon him, and you'll be full of light. If your whole desire is to serve the Lord and please the Lord, then it's going to result in you being full of light. It will shine out to those round about you. It can't help it. You don't have to go around and broadcast it. They'll know that you're different. And when God deals with them, that opportunity will come up that you can speak to them, that light will show forth to them. But if that eye in you is evil, then your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, that brings you to something, you know, you just think, well, now that means that if you're not saved, you're full of darkness. It's exactly what that means. And it's hard to think like that sometimes because you think, well, I know a lot of good people that don't have the salvation. Well, the thing is that they've not gone to the point of a lot of violence and maliciousness and things like that. But we're not saved by being good. We're saved by the love and the power and the life and the born-again experience in Jesus Christ, a spiritual experience that brings life into us. In a moment, we've been transformed suddenly. Suddenly, we don't want to do wrong anymore. We don't want sin anymore. That light of our body is different. Our eyes, when they look out, they see differently as they did before. Not meaning that you see people looking different than they did before. Their physical form doesn't change, neither does yours. But you see them in a different light. When you really get saved, the person that you hated, you love now. You throw that away. When you really get saved, you throw all that malice away. And there for a period of time, it might just be a short period of time, but for a period of time, you're free from that emotion. The enemy will come and attack you and try to bring you back to it, but don't let it happen. Stand firm in the fact that you've met God and that he's given you salvation. When I got saved, I was driving a little old pickup that I'd done wore out. The thing had both sides rusted out of it, had five spare tires in the back, and it just was wore out. I mean, you see a guy in Arkansas with five spare tires, you know he ain't got enough money to buy good tires. And he could change a tire in about 15 minutes. Now, I was good at it, but the reason for that was I couldn't have the money to buy it. I worked like crazy, still didn't have the money. Still, it wouldn't work out right. I thought, boy, I'd like to have me a new pickup. But you know, when I got saved that next morning, I walked out there and I got in that pickup and that engine started and I said, thank you, Lord, for this pickup. I've never thanked anybody for that pickup. I never was appreciated that little thing at all. I drove that thing another 3 years and I want to tell you, the Lord changed the way my mind worked. Where I didn't just waste money here and there. I had the money extra to buy tires. I didn't carry five spares with me anymore. It changed the way I thought. It changed the way I thought about everything. And the more I served him, the more and more my body became full of light. I can tell you, when you have a desire, that eye will turn with it. When sin crosses in front of you and you're tempted, and that eye goes with it, that heart is what caused that to happen. You need to deal with it on the inside. Whenever you're tempted, whatever your temptation is, when it draws your eyes and it draws your attention, that's that nature, that inner light or darkness whether it's evil or whether it's good. That's pulling on you, because our warfare is spiritual. It's not that lost person going down the road that's going to cuss you out, do ugly things to you, want to hurt you, maybe steal your stuff, whatever. That person there, that's not the real enemy. Of course, we don't want that to happen, and it is wrong, and it is evil for those things, for them to do those things. But the real enemy that we've got's inside. That enemy, that spiritual wickedness trying to come against us and revive that old nature, that lost nature that's there, that the Spirit of God keeps humbled down and keeps from operating in our life. Jesus gives freedom, and that freedom comes from the light inside of our inner man and our heart. We do things, we fail God, there's no doubt. Everybody sinned and come short of the glory of God, but when we do it, we're smitten in our heart. We seek God and say we've done wrong. We try to make it right if we can. If we've hurt somebody's feelings or if we've done something wrong to somebody, we try to make it right. We're remorseful over it. We return to God. You know, if it wasn't for God's moving in our conscience, that we couldn't even do that. That is a very example of God. That's one of the things, as the Bible prophesies at the end time, that people will begin to not have a conscience of good and evil. That's the proof of the Spirit of God no longer dealing with them. When we have that in our life, we should be thankful for the chastisement of the Lord to bring conviction in our life, that we might turn around and make that right, because He doesn't chasten us. He does not get on to us out of evil intention or to hurt us. He does it for our good, that we might live a better life. If we have that eye that's single, when we're out there, we're hooking, unhooking trucks, we're driving in our car, whatever we're doing, whatever we're going on in our life, inside we still have our mind upon Jesus. There's a part of us that's set towards Jesus. You got to have your consciousness watching what's going on, listen to something, instructions that you're getting or whatever. That doesn't mean that every word in your mouth has to be set toward God. It's that your heart's set toward God. Doesn't mean when He says pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean that every word has to be a prayer. That means that don't stop praying. Let that spirit of prayer be inside of you. Let it build you more and more. If your eyes evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. We don't want that, because there's no here and there. You're either one or the other. The Lord said to the Laodicean church, He said, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. There at that Laodicean city there, right around what we call Turkey today, in the country of Turkey, there's two rivers. One river has hot springs in it, and so the water's hot there. The other river is considered cold, as in comparison to hot. Not that it's an icy river, not that it's coming off glaciers or something. It's just cold in comparison. But when the two run together, that city doesn't find any value in that. If it's hot water, they can bathe in it. They can make drinks from it and all that type of thing. If they need a good cool drink or if they need refreshing, they can go over to the cold water. He would that we were one way or the other. Not this in between. And we're better off either knowing we're saved or knowing we're lost. Because if we know we're lost, we know we need to be saved. And if we know we're saved, then we can't be condemned. We can't be beat down and made to think that we're lost. Don't ever let, never let your sanctification destroy your justification. If you fail God, get up, pray, ask Him to forgive you. Believe in your heart. Make it right with your brother if you've done something wrong. Make it right in your heart and try it again. You may say, I do it over and over. That's what the devil does. He fights you over and over to make you fail over and over again. Don't fall for that. That's the normal warfare that's going on in every Christian life. He fights it and fights it. He'll find your weakness. He'll exploit that weakness. He'll hammer at your mind, at your thoughts. He'll make your closest loved ones say things, not meaning maliciously, but say things that just stab you right in the heart and it just like weaken you, your strength and your spiritual zeal. Don't let that happen. That's not them. That's that enemy fighting to cause these things to come. Let that light in you be the Lord Jesus Christ. Then keep that single in mind, that warfare is inside of us and out there. That world needs to be saved. This warfare that's going on us has already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we go on to overcome day by day, we're going to win this warfare too. We win it through faith in Him. This is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. It's what John, the epistles of John says. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, it's an amazing thing that God omnipotently chose faith to be the basis of what we set our strength in. Not on any of our works, not on any of our intelligence, not on any of our ability or the lack thereof, but on faith. Every human alive can have faith. We all do. We all believe something. If you don't believe that, then you let a little baby crawl around till it sees that it's spot that it might fall. That baby will back away from it with its knowing that there's something wrong there. It hasn't even grown to the place that it can comprehend so many things, but it'll figure that out quickly. It doesn't want to fall. It knows there's something there. Well, even with that, that's a type of faith. It understands that I'll fall if I do that. That's a type of belief. That's what God wants you to have in Him, just believing. Everybody in the sound of my voice, you believe if you step off the edge of a 1,000-foot cliff that you're going to fall and it is going to be your death unless God does a miracle. And you won't do that. You won't do that because it'll cost you your life. That's faith. You know that. Have that kind of assurance in God that no matter what goes on, you're going to believe He's there. If you fail Him, believe Him anyway. Tell Him you failed Him. Be honest with Him. Let the light that's in you be good because it's already searched your heart. He knows more about you than you'll ever know. And He knew from the beginning when He started dealing with you to be saved just what type of person you are. But He loved us anyway. In spite of what I've done, in spite of all the wrong I've done, He loved me anyway and saved me. And that tells me that if I do fail, if I do turn my eyes away, if I do something wrong, that He will woo me back to Himself and I'll feel that conscience inside of me. That's His wooing to tell me I've done wrong. The enemy will immediately say, you can't go back. You don't want to go back. All of these things. Don't believe those things. Let your mind come to the singleness of heart again. That single, let thine eye be single, is what that scripture is saying there. If thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Let it be single on Jesus Christ. It will come on more and more. In Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, actually, it says the righteous are as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the wicked are not so. They don't understand their destruction. The righteous are a shining light that shine more and more unto the perfect day. The longer you're serving, the more it gets real. Just keep shining more and more. The fight gets deeper and it gets wider, but it gets better. The rewards get sweeter and they get stronger. Keep your eyes set on Him. Keep your belief set on Him. Keep your knowledge set on Him. When you get the opportunity, listen to the Word of God. I used to drive utility runs, you know, in Kansas City, Little Rock, out of Fayetteville, and I'd listen to the Bible during those hours. I mean, constantly, over and over, I would listen to that. Listen to worship music. Surround yourselves with those things. As it says in Ephesians 5, that He didn't want you to be ignorant of what the will of the Lord is, but speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Don't be filled with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with His Spirit. Sing to yourself. Worship God. Say the Psalms over and over. Let the Word of God, and that you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. It will fill you up to the flesh. You know, the more we do something, the more it shines out. I like the little meme that's got the old boy. He's in camouflage clothes with a rifle, but from his collar up, he's a buck deer. And he's got a little hat in there, and he's talking to this guy, and he says, "Yeah, my friends say I hunt too much." Well, they were making it look like he's such a deer hunter that he turned into a deer. Well, that's kind of funny in the physical realm, but it's just exactly what happens in the spiritual realm. The more we let ourselves go into darkness, then the more darkness we become, and we're blinded of it. But the more we let ourselves go into the light, the more we dwell in the light, the more we show forth the light, the more you serve Jesus, the more you want to talk about Jesus. Say if you got into some kind of hobby. Say you were in a hobby of fixing up old cars. It's not long after sit down and talk to you, you'll bring that hobby up. That's just what that's the kind of creature we are. Whatever treasures in our heart, that's what comes flowing out. That's why when you sit down with a Christian, he might not say anything for quite a little while, but you got that unction. You know in there. There's something different about this person, and it'll come out. You just keep looking. It'll come out. If they're a Christian, it'll come out. That's what'll come out. But if they're lost, that'll come out too. It'll come flowing out because that darkness has them. That's the unfortunate thing about being lost without the conviction of the Spirit of God. They don't even know that they're lost. They don't know that they're lost. This generation that we're living in, you know, according to the world census, it says that only 31% of the whole Earth's population, all 7.7 billion of them, have any belief in Christianity at all. 17% of that have a belief that is totally opposed to the Bible. Then you've got, in the midst of that, you've got about 11% of that do not believe in the spiritual birth of Jesus Christ, where he said in John chapter 3, in verse 3, and again in verse 5, that you must be born again. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again." He said, "You cannot enter and you cannot see the kingdom of God except you be born again." That spiritual renewal, only about 6% of the earth's population believe that. That's 94% of the earth that do not believe what Jesus said was the only way to be saved. That is an astounding figure. They don't even see it. That's because their eye is blinded. We need that kind of light in the world that reaches out to them and pulls them up. That is only going to happen through Jesus Christ. Jesus said that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He said this, the next verse said, he said this signifying what death he should die. If he's crucified, he'll draw all men to him. Well, he was crucified, and he will draw all men to him. And we are to be crucified with him. That means that we be single in heart. We be single in mind. We be single in body. And our whole body shall be full of light. We're crucified with him. They'll see Jesus through us. He is the light of the world. Now we are the light of the world. We're a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Men don't light a candle to put it under a bushel, but they shine it all about the house. Let it shine. Let it shine out at you. Let people see that you're different. When they get all mad, broke apart, fall apart, and want to do wickedly, don't join in. Don't be part of that. Let yourself be free from it. Get a hold of God, and it will mean something to them later on when God deals with their heart. You'll have that opportunity to show the light of Jesus. I think that I've pretty well said what I think I should say tonight. I don't know what you typically do Brother Jimmy, are you still there?
But, yes, brother, I'm still here.
All right.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I don't know what you're used
to. Well, if you would like to just close us out and lead the sinner's prayer, and then I can close you right after that. If you want to lead us in a sinner's prayer, that'd be great, brother.
I'll sure do it, Brother Jimmy. Okay.
Amen.
I'd like to ask if there's anybody here listening, anybody hears this CD, if you don't know Jesus, or maybe you knew him at one time, right now's the day of salvation. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. You know, four people every second die on earth. Four people die every second. I might be in the next second. I don't know. You might be. You don't know. Now's the day of salvation. Now's the time to call. I'd like to ask you, if you don't know Jesus or you got away from him, I'd like to ask you right now to ask him to forgive you and come into your heart to be born again, to have salvation. If you would pray with me right now, we're going to pray what Paul said to pray, what he said. If you believe in your heart, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, you shall be saved. So you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. The Bible says you shall be saved. I want to pray with you right now. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask anybody in the sound of my voice, Lord, Father, whether it be now or any time in the future, God, that your Spirit would deal with them. God, that you'd draw them to salvation, that they would repent and believe your gospel. Believe that you are the Son of God, that you did come in the flesh, that you did raise from the dead, that you are alive forevermore, and that you are the way to God the Father, and that salvation comes through your name, your name only. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd reach down to them. My friend, my prayer for you is right now, you're in the sound of my voice, that you would have life, that God would give you life. Serving Jesus is the best life. Just let me say this to you. I was an operations manager for Pepsi-Cola. Then they moved me up, and I was a sales manager. I covered a large area. I was not a Christian. I'd gotten to the point that nothing bothered me, seemed like. I told someone one time, I said, it just seems like no matter what I do, I don't feel bad about doing it. And I seen tears well up in their eyes. I knew they were Christian. They offered me a job as a vice president at a beer company. And instantaneously, without a thought, I said, that'd kill my daddy. My daddy served the Lord all the days that I can remember him. Something changed in me. Something changed in me. I left management. I went and got in a truck. God brought me to the very bottom. But when he saved me, he brought me out in joy like I've never known. I ain't never had a position or money like I had back then, but I ain't never had peace like I have now. Never had joy. I have the greater riches. Money don't give you riches. Position, title, and power don't give you peace. Only that comes from Jesus. And I pray for your peace and salvation. In the name of Jesus, let it come. Amen.
Amen. Powerful message there, Brother Allen. Appreciate that tonight. Enjoyed
thank
that testimony,
brother.
Too. Yeah, thank you. Thank if you, you just prayed that prayer with Brother Allen, you just made the best decision of your life. If you didn't and wanted to, maybe you still have some questions, or you just need someone to pray with you, you can call Pastor Skip at 816-729-6649. We'd love to hear from you, send some literature and a Bible for free to help you out with your new walk with the Lord. We also suggest that you get into a Bible-based church, and we can help you with that as well. And we can start sending pre-recorded messages on CDs. All we need is your address, and we'd love to send them to you. And you can go to extendedhandsofgod.org and find all our contact information on there. We also have a free app you can download to your iPhone or Android by searching Extended Hands of God at your app store. On both the app and website, you can listen to all the messages, see who today's speakers are, and a whole lot more. And we'd like to thank Brother Alan Smith for giving the word tonight. And we'd like to thank Brother Skip Etheridge for letting us use his music tonight. And you can share this with your friends and family. And thank you again for joining us at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. And God bless.